So just start off, tell me a little bit about yourself and, you know, where you're from and kind of what inspired you to kind of go on this journey.
Yeah, so I'm Seth Varner, and I'm a 23-year-old recent college graduate from the University of Nebraska at Omaha. My full-time job is with Wandermore Publishing Company. I write travel guides, and I run 4 Facebook travel blogs right now for Nebraska, Iowa, South Dakota, and Kansas. And that's because I visited every incorporated town in those first 3 states, and I'm currently working away on Kansas, and I'm going to try to visit every incorporated town in the Sunflower State by probably the end of October is when I'll finish up. But the original idea kind of dates back to Nebraska and COVID. At that time, I was a freshman in college. I was 20 years old, and after getting sent home, after that first month where, you know, just the world kind of ended, there's not much to do for anybody. We all got sent home from school, jobs, that kind of thing. I got very bored in my small town where I was just working at the Dairy Queen, and I couldn't even go to the gym to lift or play basketball. I couldn't go enjoy any local restaurants with friends. We just had to pretty much cruise Main Street every single night and work at the ice cream store. And after a certain point, I got so bored that I came up with the idea to go visit every incorporated town in Nebraska with my buddy, Austin. And so he agreed to it, and over the course of 3 months, we visited all 531 towns in Nebraska. And to make a long story short, my mom came up with the idea to make a Facebook page. So I did that, started posting our town visits, and people started rallying behind it as something positive to take out of COVID. And all those Facebook followers came up with the idea that I should write a coffee table book about Nebraska. And then from there, it kind of spiraled to where I wrote the book about Nebraska. Then I did every town in Iowa to see if the people in Hawkeye State would be as interested. That did well. Did South Dakota last year. And now here we are with Kansas.
Yeah, it you know, COVID was a bad time for a lot of things, but I think it inspired a lot of people to do a lot of interesting things, and it sounds like you're one of those there. And so, so on your journeys, what would you say is the most interesting thing you found in those other 3 states, and then so far, what's the most interesting thing you found in Kansas?
Oh, man, it's really hard to narrow things down state by state because there's just so much to do. So my whole thing is about, like, every town has something unique in it, whether you got a population of 50 people, 500 or 5,000 people, or 50,000 people for that matter. Oh, man, that is so hard. You put me on the spot here. Let's say, off the top of my head, Nebraska has this area called Hidden Paradise in Long Pine, where it almost feels like you're in kind of this tropical beach area. It's very relaxing. River flows through all these little cabins, and it's located in the small town of just a few hundred people in north central Nebraska, kind of outside of Valentine. But the Hidden Paradise in Long Pine was a shock that we had something like that in my home state. In Iowa, I would say the Grotto of the Redemption in West Bend, Iowa is very fascinating. This priest spent, I think it was 30 to 40 years of his life building up this magnificent grotto of gemstones from all over the world. I think it's the largest collection of different gemstones and rocks and fossils and those kinds of things in one place. And it stretches like a city block or two. It's just amazing. South Dakota, off the top of my head, there's this little town called Roslyn, South Dakota. They only have about 300 people. They're up in the northeast. They've got this thing called the International Vinegar Museum, where this guy used to be a scientist, and he would develop different vinegars all over the world. And he gives, like, talks about how to formulate them, that kind of thing. And so the town actually rallied around that and made a tourism attraction to try to get people to come visit their community. I talked to the guy. His name's Lawrence Biggs, and they said it's had wild success. They brought in thousands of people to this town, essentially in the middle of nowhere, just to visit this museum. And then Kansas, I don't know if I could even narrow it down because there's been so many cool things so far, and I haven't even finished it off yet. But I got a map here. I'm looking at it. I'm trying to reminisce. I mean, Lindsberg was very cool with their Swedish history. Even down in the southeast, you got all these big cities, like around your area specifically, like Independence has that fascinating, I think it's Riverfront Park. It's not Riverfront, I know it's Riverside Park, you know, where Mickey Mantle played his first games. Fort Scott has a lot of history. They've got like the Unsung Heroes Museum, where you've got all these fascinating stories about like the first person that, or the only person that had like their ashes buried on the moon. All kinds of fascinating stories there. I could go on and on, but there's lots and lots to see and do around the Midwest.
So you recently came through our area of Kansas. So just talk a little bit about what you thought of this area of Kansas during your travels.
So specifically in Coffeyville, I made the effort to meet with the tourism director and the newspaper, and we went over to the Sunflower Soda Fountain, had a great meal there, and talked for a bit. Everyone was super nice there, and the two ladies I was with, they kept calling over locals to tell me history about Coffeyville, and everyone was super kind about it. They talked about the Brown Mansion, which I went up to, and they were closed at the time. I didn't get to take a tour of the inside, but it's a magnificent building. Reminds me a lot of the White House in Washington, D.C., actually. I also went to the Dalton Defenders Museum, which has a lot of area history. I know that's what Coffeyville is kind of known for in the tourism industry, is just the people who rallied to defend the town, and then and the two banks of the Dalton gang couldn't get away with. I think at the time it was like $31,000 or something like that. So in today's money, you know, just crazy amounts of money that would have hurt the town pretty greatly. Even towns like Fredonia only had 2,000 people there, but I was shocked at how long it took me to get around town, checking out the murals and beautiful downtown square. Chanute, despite not being a county seat, you know, they have the magnificent old train depot, and they've got the safari museum there, and again, beautiful murals downtown and huge park on one side of town. And I will say, in all my travels around the Midwest, I have never seen a town with so many kids outside of the park at one time. I remember driving through the park, and there was probably no less than 100 people on the basketball court, which, being from a small town myself, that would have been like a dream come true. Typically, we were lucky to get 10 people, so seeing 100 kids outside playing, you know, basketball, and there's a skate park there and everything, like, that was really cool for me to see. You know, everyone says, like, everyone's just indoor. Kids are indoors nowadays doing nothing, but all throughout Southeast Kansas, there's a lot of activity in all the towns, and it was really cool to see people out and about and so passionate about each one of their communities that I visited. And those communities where I got a chance to talk with somebody, every person was very proud about what their town had to offer.
So is there anything that has changed that you do differently from when you first started to now?
You know, it's funny you say that. So, obviously, when Nebraska started, that was just a cure for boredom. Literally, all it was supposed to be was my friend and I, we go around, we visit these towns, maybe we check out a thing or two, maybe, if it really interests us. But what it was at first is we would just get to the town, take our picture with the welcome sign, and leave. Like, it would be like a 3-minute visit for some towns. And as time went on, I made the Facebook page, and people started commenting, like, well, why don't you take pictures of anything in town? I'm like, oh, I guess I didn't think people would want to see a bunch of pictures of town. So I slowly started including those in the Nebraska tour, and by the time Iowa rolled around, people are like, well, we want pictures of just about everything in town. I'm like, oh, well, okay, I guess I can do that. So Iowa, I started taking pictures of the more popular things. Like, I'd start focusing on restaurants and parks and museums and those kinds of things. Slowly started to meet more people, started taking our time more. And then by the time South Dakota rolled around and kind of like the end of Iowa, I realized, oh, like, people want pictures of every single building in town. So I kind of changed the idea to like a documentation mindset. Like, I'm going to try to get pictures of every single building in town that I can, every single place of note. So for Kansas now, you guys are the lucky ones, actually. So Kansas, it's my goal. I really try to get every single school, church, business, park, just everything that I possibly can. And just because of Facebook post limits, I can only put 100 photos in each of my posts. So there's some of these towns I take up to 400 photos, and I have to whittle it all the way down to 100 just so I can share those on Facebook. and then the rest of those will be available in my book. But Kansas is also getting way more history written about it. So I used to just write up like a couple of sentences, maybe just be like, oh, like this is when the town was founded, how it got its name, and here's one cool thing about town. And now, like, if you look at my Coffeeville post, for example, like you can't even fit the whole write up on one screen. Like, I'm looking at it here and I have to scroll to actually get through all the information that I shared. So things have changed a lot since I graduated school, and now I have a lot more time to focus on this Wandermore project. So the Kansas book is going to be a good one, that's for sure.
All right. Well, so for me, when I travel, food is always one of the big things I'm looking for. So what's some of the best dishes that you've had in some of these towns?
Oh, man, you are absolutely right about that. You know, sometimes the best thing about visiting a town is going to see the food and just trying that kind of stuff. Man, that is so hard to narrow down. I think I've been to, what is that? I've been to like 46 or 47 local eateries around the state so far. I got my map laid out here. I'm going to look and see if I can pick out a couple. This might take me a second to pick out the best.
That's all right. It's worth the wait for you to figure out which one's some of the best.
Right, right. I figured this is going to be edited anyways, right? So
yes.
Man. You have really good questions, so you're putting me on the spot here. I like that. Let's say, I remember Ottawa Smoked Creations Barbecue was fantastic. They're really known for their barbecue in that area, and I sampled some of the brisket and the pulled pork, and that was some really good stuff. There's this drive-in in Manhattan. I can't remember the name of it off the top of my head, but they had excellent burgers and fries. Really old-fashioned kind of place to eat. Salina also had a drive-in. Let me see, I gotta find the name of that one for sure. Yeah, so Salina has this place called Cozy Inn Hamburgers, where you go in the restaurant and you get these little burgers. It's basically all you can eat. They're like $1.29 each or something like that, and you just keep eating until you're full. But all the locals were kind of horrified that I went inside, because supposedly if you go eat inside the restaurant, and this is like a 6-stool diner, one of the last ones in the nation, if you go inside and you eat at the diner, you smell like burgers for the rest of the day, and you can't get the smell of your car. And I can confirm, although it's really good and really famous, my car smelled like burgers for like days after that. But really good food, super famous. I think they've been on the Travel Channel and those kinds of things. But other than that, Jiffy Burger comes to mind in Smith Center. They're also really famous, kind of like an old diner, like 50s and 60s decor. So I would say those are the ones I would pick out from what I've seen and done so far.
All right. So of the 627 incorporated towns that you're visiting, where are you at as far as how far along and how many more do you have left? I know you said October you thought you might finish up.
Yeah, so I've done 406 of the 627 towns so far. So I've got 221 to go. And I know next up I'm going to be heading towards the southwest. I'm going to switch things up a little bit. I'm going to go visit kind of the Dodge City, Garden City area, Great Bend and La Crosse, and kind of go out west there out to the Colorado border. That'll be the next trip in a couple of weeks. After that, I'll finish off the Southwest, do Liberal and Medicine Lodge and Pratt and some of those towns. My penultimate trip will be the Wichita area, Wichita, Hutchinson, and some of those bigger cities down in the south central part of the state, Derby, Arkansas City. And then I'm going to wrap things up sometime in October by doing the rest of the Kansas City metro. So I have yet to do towns like Shawnee and Lenexa and Kansas City, so I'll finish up there, and I hope to finish off the traveling by mid-October, and the book is supposed to be out November 25th is my goal, if not earlier.
All right. Well, it's been good to talk to you. Really interesting conversation, and quite the journey you set on, especially being this your fourth state to complete later this year. So, well, good luck in the rest of your travels, and if you're ever back in the Coffeeville area, you have to swing by the radio station.
Hey, thanks, Matt. I appreciate it. And then are you guys going to write a story about this for your website that I can share on my Facebook page?
Yes, I will put something up, and then I will it'll be on our Facebook page and our website, and I'll email you a link when I'm done.
Awesome. Sounds like a plan. I'll give that a share so people can kind of listen in and see if they get any good restaurant recommendations and that kind of stuff out of the interview. So
there we
thanks
go.
Again.
Yep, no problem. You
let me know if anything else, and I'll be sure to respond to you as soon as I can.
Sounds good. You take care, and again, good luck.
Yeah, thank you, Matt. I really appreciate it. Have a good one.
All right, safe travel. See ya.
We'll see ya.